Live in our studio, guitarist Jason Vio here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we will have Jason Vio with us for this portion of the program. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll have two more guitarists joining us live also. All three are going to be playing at the fifth Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, known as El Nora, which actually officially opens tonight. The opening night party starts at 6 o'clock, and it continues through Saturday. The party doesn't, but the festival does continue through Saturday. And Jason, thanks for coming back on the show.
Sure. It's great to be here again, Kevin.
I didn't even know what that piece was. What was it?
Well, it's an arrangement by a colleague of mine who teaches at Paris Conservatory and does a lot of touring and maybe is... He himself has played on this festival before, I don't know, Roland Dianz, and a French guitarist, and that's his arrangement of A Felicidade, a song by Antonio Carlos Jobim.
From the of Girl from Ipanema.
Of this, that
Ipanema
same,
fame.
Of the same composer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ipanema.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. I always said Ipanema, but that was wrong. Well, it was fun. It was fun to not only hear you play, but also watch you play, particularly in the context that was set up before the show started. Because you, Jason, were talking with my intern Jason Hayes about licks from Metallica and other various rock groups.
Yeah.
That
you well, Jason's wearing a Master of Puppets T-shirt, and that was a record that was a big, heavy metal record when I was 13, 14 years old. So yeah, I just started playing the intro to Battery and the riff from Master Puppets and stuff like that.
Well, for some reason, I'm probably one of what I assume are many people who figure that classical guitarists don't listen to that stuff.
Yeah, I listen to everything. I mean, I'm one of these people that probably like 5 to 10 artists of every, from every genre you can think of. I'm more or less into like specific artists. I like a lot more, of course, jazz artists, hundreds of them and of course, hundreds of composers. But when it comes to things like popular music, rock and roll, jazz, hip hop, country, things like that, there's definitely some people along the way that have caught my ear and continue to catch my ear. They just sort of have a natural spark there.
Which is probably makes it extra fun for you to be at the festival earlier than some, because some won't get here till the day they play, which
right.
Might be tomorrow or Saturday. You're here a little bit early, so you get to see the whole festival or as much of it as you want.
Yes,
and of course it's a mix of all the genres you mentioned plus a whole bunch more.
Right.
So who are some of those? What would be a handful of those? Pop and rock guitarists you particularly admire.
Pop and rock guitarists?
Yeah.
It's all
We're
over the place.
We're going to confine it here.
I mean, for Prince, for example, I think is a really underrated guitarist. I've always loved just like listening to a solo. Like if he played a solo on something, I would really want to hear it, because he plays with a great deal of soul and great feel.
And he's almost, some people would consider him a jazz player, I think.
I think he's somebody that
could
probably do whatever he wanted to. He could sit down at a piano, I'm sure, and play a standard, or Tin Pan Alley song. And, he's just a real musician to me, like a real natural. And, Eddie Van Halen was a big, a very big deal when I was a kid. And growing up in Buffalo, and he was something of a phenomenon around the United States and I think around the world with just this very new way of playing guitar with a two-hand tapping that, so he was in terms of pop culture or guitar culture, he was really like, that's very much my generation. So I've always liked a lot of his playing and Steely Dan guitarists, like all those. I mean, I'm a huge Steely Dan fan. The Police, Andy Summers, love his, I like two Andy Summers solos, a lot, that kind of thing. Like Driven to Tears on Zenyatta Mandata. So I'm a records guy, I mean, I like records and I have a kind of almost encyclopedic sort of memory when it comes to track order and release date and stuff like that. So,
do you ever sit and play some of these, some of the solos that you hear from those kind of records?
Sure. Yeah, I used to just transcribe them off of or play along with them when I was a kid. You know, and that was a really good ear training for me, actually, without really thinking of it as ear training. It was just fun for me. But that's what later on it would lead to, you know, being able to make that record, having the opportunity to make that record, Images of Matheny, which is entirely music by the jazz guitarist Pat Matheny. Those were all just done from off the records, just hearing the records and then just crafting, you know, noting what the bass line is, the chord information, the melody, and then trying to craft something that made it, you know, on the guitar to make it sound like a guitar piece.
We should make clear, Images of Matheny is your record.
It's my record, sort of a tribute. I guess it looks a bit like a tribute record, I think, to Pat Matheny's composition. I mean, the cool thing about putting something like a band, like a five-piece band, down on one instrument, whether it's guitar or piano, is it actually brings the melody, the tunes, into focus a little bit more clearly. And I always thought Pat Matheny was a great melody writer, so I wanted to make that record.
I got sent a couple records recently, and I'm not sure we have that one. I'll have to look. Did you ever
play?
We can
get it for the for
okay
your course,
well
sure.
Thank you very much. Did you ever play in a garage band?
I never did. That's the thing. Maybe I'm a frustrated garage band guitarist. I'm definitely a frustrated drummer. I know that, so I'm a big fan of drummers too, so.
And you know this how? I mean,
listening to records. I just love.
Do you ever translate it to get your guitar playing? Because some people
doesn't.
Do.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't translate. There's just a sound that a drum set, you know, has and is really can't be.
So you don't have any aspiration to do to your guitar what Tommy Emmanuel has done to his guitar?
Not so much. No, I would actually have an aspiration to just be a really lousy drummer, and I'd be happy with that.
Well, you know, a lot of people have made careers doing that. The piece that you started with, that's on a forthcoming CD.
That's on a forthcoming CD that comes out in January 2014, and I guess a little 4 months from now, called Play. And it celebrates it's a CD basically of encores or pieces that you could play as an encore, and it's kind of it's a fun CD. It's a kind of a celebration of my 20 years as a touring guitarist, as a professional musician. So a lot of the things that are on there are things that I've played as encores for years, and then a lot of things are really new. Things that I would have liked to have played as encores over the years, but just never got around to. But would I learned for that particular record, and then some other things. There's an arrangement of a Duke Ellington tune in a sentimental mood that I had done, so I put that on there because I've been playing that as an encore last couple of years. So it's kind of like all over the place, but mostly they're all real short pieces. There's about 18 tracks on it, so it's a real fun listen.
Do you, I mean, sort of in the context of what we're talking about, and the notion of encores, do you ever have people who are at your recitals and yell out, play?
Oh, yeah.
What's the thing that everybody
says?
The one that
audiences, which actually forced me to kind of dust it off, was Recuerdos de la Alhambra, the tremolo. The Francisco Tárrega. It's probably the most beloved original classical guitar piece. It's not a transcription. That's an actual guitar a piece of about 5 minutes, and it features a tremolo. And people would shout that out, and then I would play it because it's one of those pieces that you always kind of have memorized, So that's on there too, because after concerts, after selling my CDs, this is my 12th commercial CD, and signing CDs after concerto performances or concerts, we say, what about that Recuerdos, or if I played Capriccio Arabe or something in an all Spanish recital, say, well, do you have these pieces you know, by Tarraga on any of your CDs. And, you know, so now that's been
now you do.
Remedied. So,
yeah. Yeah. Anybody ever yell out, play Freebird? Isn't that the
Yeah,
one
so there's been a couple Freebird.
Yeah. Do you do it? Do you know it?
No, I haven't done an arrangement of Freebird. and I don't plan to just because there's probably so many other things I think that would make.
That would open a
My wife loves Freebird. My wife is a big Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, actually.
Okay, well, it's probably wise in case people start really expecting it.
What? Wouldn't that be something, though, that would freak people out, actually, if I didn't tell anybody about it and
well,
just did one?
Just did it. You know, what I have failed to mention so far is when you're actually performing during this festival.
Yeah.
Which is
it's
Saturday.
It's Saturday at 11, and I'm sharing – it's a shared concert with a great guitarist from Croatia, Ana Vidović. She maybe even has played this festival before, but – she's a really fantastic classical guitarist as well. So she'll play a half and then I play a half. And so that starts at 11. I think the whole thing's done by 12:30 because then Paco Peña, the flamenco guitarist, is on at 1 right after us.
And I talked with Ana Vidović last week.
Yes.
For the show. And we got to hear some of her. She wasn't here with us, of course. Won't get here till tomorrow. Probably
tomorrow, yeah.
But then since you mentioned Paco Peña, you're doing what's being billed as the keynote conversation.
That's
where you're
right.
going to chat with him.
I'm going to interview
tomorrow.
Him and chat. Yes, that's what I'm probably more nervous about that than anything.
Because
it's just stuff I don't usually do. But
you're doing fine.
But David
now.
Spellman. I just hope I don't ask him dumb questions. But David Spellman, the curator of Elnora, he said, you know, I think you should do it. You know, I think you do a good job. And I said, really? You know, like 10 times. And he said, yeah. So we'll see how that goes. That's tomorrow. That's why I'm here today. I'm here a day early.
So that'll be at 3:00 tomorrow. That's happening in the Follinger Great Hall. It's free. And then your recital is also going to be in the Great Hall. I think all the classical stuff's going to be in the Great Hall.
Yeah, I think so.
We should have you play something else.
Sure. How about that arrangement, the In a Sentimental Mood by Duke Ellington.
I had
this
a feeling you were going to get ready for that because
I had to prepare
a string.
Yeah, you have to tune one of the strings down to from E down to D. There we go. That sounds pretty good. So this is also on the upcoming, on the forthcoming CD play.
And might be on the recital Saturday?
I think this is on the main program on Saturday. Thank you.
Music by Duke, it was Duke Ellington's tune, right?
Yes.
Because not all of his tunes attributed to him or his. There are some from Billy Strayhorn. Nonetheless, Duke Ellington, In a Sentimental Mood, played by Jason Vio, live in our studio here on Live and Local. He's going to be playing a recital, or really kind of half a recital, Saturday at the Guitar Festival at Krannert Center, and also the interviewer in the keynote conversation with the guitarist Paco Peña, which is going to happen tomorrow. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, where our program is supported by The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377, open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner. And now, if you have an iPhone, iPad, or Android device, you can get hold of the new WYNL app and listen to our stations pretty much anytime you want. For more information about how to find it in the App Store or Google Play, visit our website at wyll.illinois.edu. I think you said, but and I've forgotten, did you make the transcription?
Yes.
For that one?
I did it actually for Charlotte Symphony. Which sounds weird, but I was there to play the Rodrigo Concerto de Aranjuez, it's a famous Spanish guitar concerto that I play a lot each year. But in this particular instance, they were bookending the program. The first and last pieces were by Gershwin Bernstein and either Gershwin or Ellington. I don't exactly remember. And so they wanted to find a jazz kind of guitar concerto that I could play on the second half, you know. But we couldn't really find one that we agreed on that we liked, that we thought was really good. So they said, well, okay, well, how about this? How about you play three pieces? We'll have the conductor, our guest conductor, interview you on stage, like a 15-minute segment in place of this of what would have been the second concerto. And you'll play three pieces that will go from where we left off in Spain back into more of the American jazz composer. So I played Sevilla by Isaac Albéniz, the Spanish composer, Spanish piano work, and then I played a Brazilian samba by Jorge Morel, an Argentine guitarist, and then I did that or made that arrangement specifically for that engagement.
It's a nice concept for a symphony concert, actually.
Yeah. The audience loved it because it made it real intimate, and they just put a spotlight on us, and we're just sitting on stools and, you know, just chatting, basically.
You said earlier when I asked you about, you know, what the pop and rock guitarists you like, and you said, well, of course I like a lot of jazz guitarists and a lot of jazz records. Why of course for a classical guitarist?
I don't know. You know, that's actually, yeah, I don't. It's yeah, you're right. It's not necessarily de rigueur for a classical musician to like jazz, but I grew up listening. My dad's record collection it was entirely jazz LPs, not a single pop record in the whole thing, and no classical, but only just because he wasn't exposed to it. And my mother's was the same thing. They weren't exposed really very much to classical music. And my mother's records were all soul records, soul and Motown and Stax singles and some about four or five Beatles albums, Mamas and the Papas, stuff like that, Creedence Clearwater. So I would just listen to these records incessantly from the time I was about three or four. So my mother bought me a guitar when I was five, thinking, you know, a guitar. And but it happened to be a classical guitar, just a very small version of one, just, you know, kind of about two-thirds the size of an adult guitar. And I goofed around on it until I took some music reading lessons when I was six, but when the Buffalo Guitar Quartet came to my school, I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, then that was my mother was working there at the time as a secretary, so that was the spark there. It's like, oh, these are proper musicians, you know, they read music. I think they were even wearing tuxes. They were doing like an outreach concert.
Well, that makes them very
exactly right. So
did you ever get into any jazz playing?
I did. I was actually a kind of a semi-professional jazz guitarist in Cleveland for a few years there. I started studying the real book and jazz harmony on my own with a future member of the Turtle Island String Quartet, Evan Price, and he would later win 2 Grammys with them as an arranger and a member of the quartet. But at the time, we were crazy about jazz, so we were listening to all kinds of stuff. I was more into like the Weather Report, you know, Mahavishnu Orchestra stuff at that time, like the '70s stuff, the fusiony stuff, and he was more into the really older, like the Gypsy Swing, you know, Stefan Grappelli, that kind of thing. So he taught me how to read these chord symbols, like charts. And then we formed a band, and we got a percussionist from CIM who was also had a lot of jazz records and jazz in his ear, and we formed a little group, and it kind of started from there. And then within about 5 years, I was getting calls as a kind of a very occasional sideman. So fun. I could solo over a chart. I probably wouldn't be very good at it right now. I'm very out of practice. But that gave, again, another sort of background. That combined with the ear training and theory I was getting at Cleveland Institute of Music, that's when I started making these impromptu arrangements of, it could be a Stevie Wonder song, or it could be a Pat Metheny thing, or a Wayne Shorter tune. And I've always just done that stuff. I never really thought about it.
Well, it makes for interesting recitals, and it certainly sounds like it's going to be an interesting recording coming out.
Yeah. I'm having a little bit more, fun with it. I'm not thinking so much about, what record to make or what to play in concert. I'm still playing a lot of, most of it is classical music. I mean, I'm always going to be playing Bach suites and recital. And last season and this year, I'm playing the Nocturnal Opus 70 by Benjamin Britten, which is a really great, solo work about 18 minutes long. And so I'm always going to play new, some modern stuff from the 20th century, new music. I'm playing a piece by Dan Visconti a lot now that he wrote for me a few years ago. And so it's always going to be a mixed bag like that, but maybe with some kind of thread running through it, maybe.
Well, we could go on for a long time and really enjoying the conversation, but we got 2 more guitarists to get on the show.
That's
today.
Right.
So we better let you take us out with something.
Okay.
Let's come.
How about an Allemann by Bach? Very quick. No repeats, though.
No repeats. Right. Fair enough. Music by Bach, performed live in our studio by Jason Vio, who will give a recital jointly with classical guitarist Anna Vidovich Saturday at 11 in the morning at Kranitz Center for the Performing Arts, and he will host a keynote conversation with guitarist Paco Peña tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. The Elnora Guitar Festival opens tonight at 6, and in just a few minutes, we will welcome 2 more of the guitarists who will be appearing on Friday. Jason, thanks very much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, Kevin. It's been great to talk with you guys again, and really happy to be back in Urbana.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay with us. Mm-hmm. Music by Astor Piazzolla is called Summer in Buenos Aires, performed by guitarist Jason Vio with bandoneon player Julian Labro and a chamber orchestra called Far Cry here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program's made possible by, logically enough for the context of this program, Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore over 10 free performances and events at El Nora, the Guitar Festival 2013, September 5th, 6th, and 7th. For more information, visit elnoraguitarfestival.com. That's our topic for today. Jason, of course, is playing on it, and so are my next two guests who are with us together. This portion of the program, from Norway, Andreas Åsa, and from South Africa, Derek Gripper. Thank you both very much for coming in, and thanks for your patience as we got you set up here.
Pleasure being here.
And, in your case, Andreas, the most recent recording you put out, at least, very Norwegian in that a lot of traditional music from Norway is, in my promo for the show, I said that that's a specialty of yours. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it is, and even more so since that record came out. I've been doing a lot of other things than recording since my 2006 album, and that's my business sense in a nutshell for you. My new record is coming out a few months after I visit El Nora, so I have to get more aggressive in the.
Well, that's okay. Jason said the same thing. His is coming out in January.
I'm happy to hear that. Yes, but on this upcoming record, it will be very Norwegian trad sounding stuff, but put up to this day and age, but without electronics. It's just me alone, one guitar playing.
Now, you say without electronics because sometimes you do have electronics on your shows.
Yeah, that just, again, my lack of business savviness because my website's really old from when before my loop station pedals were stolen from me. So, no, I don't use any electronics anymore. Best thing that ever happened to me.
So not entirely by choice, in other words.
Well, it was more or less over by then. Yeah.
Oh, that phase,
yeah.
In other words. And, Derek, you do folk music, but, well, I'm not... Don't know everything you do, but I know most recently you've done folk music of another African country that isn't South Africa, from Mali.
Well, you know, I think of the music that I've been playing as the classical music of Africa. So, or if you're thinking of it as folk music, then, you know, it's folk music in the sense that Bach is also folk music, you know, the music of the German people. So the music that I'm playing is the solo compositions of the Kora players of West Africa. This is my latest project, One Night on Earth. So what I've done is, I think for the first time, is translate the music of this harp. It's a harp lute. So it's an interesting instrument in that it's a confluence between the lute and the harp, and also between African cyclical music and the more melismatic music of North Africa and beyond. So it's a wonderful meeting point of many things. And what I've done is translated the music from this 21-string harp, focusing on its modern top composers, most interesting composers, most notably, of course, Tumani Diabate and Baleke Sisoko. And I've translated this music onto the guitar, interpreted it in my own way, and in this way I'm developing a new language for the classical guitar, because strangely enough, Africa doesn't have much of a classical guitar repertoire. You know, it's very much supported in Japan, South America, all over Europe, but there isn't much classical guitar repertoire as such. You know, in other words, contrapuntal music. You know, multi-layered.
I hope I'm remembering correctly that I think in one of the very first shows that we did on this program, Live and Local, about four and a half years ago, we had a player of the kora in here.
Ah.
But I hope I'm not misremembering the instrument, and I did forget to look up the name
of
the player.
You can't quite miss it. It's a very large instrument. It's made of a calabash, so the calabash is probably, you know, over a couple of feet wide, maybe. I don't know. And
it has a long
hardwood neck and two. It's big, you know. It's longer than a guitar.
Well, I have to go back and see exactly what it was, but I'm really intrigued to know why. You said you're the first person to transcribe this music for the guitar.
Well, in this way, there is a big tradition of guitar music amongst the griots of West Africa, where they have taken the same compositions played by the kora and played it on the guitar. I think the way that it's played is a lot influenced by the lute music of those areas, the Ngoni. So the kora and the guitar and the lutes share a common repertoire. So what's new about what I've done is I've taken the specific versions from the kora players and put them onto the guitar. So as I said, it's a contrapuntal telling of this music, whereas the guitar is usually used more melodically in the West African literature.
Why don't we hear a sample?
You could do that. Absolutely. I can play a piece called Sharabi, which is what would be known as a modern kora piece. So it's from the 20th century, whereas a lot of the pieces are much older. And it's a word which means passionate love. It's a very beautiful piece. And you can hear very nicely the multiple layers of this very unique kora music, which is by Tumani Diabate, who's really did for the kora in a way what Segovia did for the classical guitar. You know, he made it into a solo instrument aside from the voice and, you know, as an accompaniment.
Anyway. I'm intrigued. Derek Gripper here in Live and Local. Music by Tumani Diabate, did I say that right?
That's somewhat. Great.
Absolutely. Performed and transcribed by Derek Gripper here on Live and Local. He's going to be playing, I imagine, that tune.
I certainly will play that tune.
On the recital tomorrow at noon. Your recital's at noon, I think, at the Cranert Center as part of Elnora, the Guitar Festival. He's sharing the bill on that particular program with my other guest this portion of the show from Norway, Andreas Osa. And, you know, I asked about Norwegian traditional tunes, a specialty of yours. How did you decide to start doing that? And what were you doing as a guitarist before that? Assuming that isn't always what you've been doing.
Well, you're assuming correctly, because I came up like many, many, let's face it, there are way too many guitarists in the world, and I was one of them.
Well, there are a lot, let's
just
say.
Yeah, there are a lot, yeah.
And a lot of them are here this weekend.
Well, yeah, and we tried to qualify not to be superfluous to demands. Well, I came up like most other people in the Western world in Anglo-American and African-American music. And I played rock music professionally for many, many years. And every once in a while, I would come across these absolutely fantastic musicians from traditions of, say, the Celtic Irish culture, but also people from your great country who deal with their tradition in a relaxed, modernized way. In Norway, we have perhaps had a tendency to sort of put our traditional music in a museum rather than have it be dynamic and evolve. And, for example, one of these people I'm mentioning is an Irish wonderful fiddler who used to live in Chicago, actually, then Seattle, then moved back to Ireland, named Martin Hayes. And his minimalist, very concentrated, calm approach to his Western Irish heritage made me think, what's outside my kitchen window in the middle part of Norway where I live? And I started looking around. This was, you know, around my 30th birthday. I'm now 45. So this is a fairly, I came fairly late to this. And then I immediately discovered this fantastic fiddler who died in 94. That's my bad luck. But he was 90 years old, Hilmar Alexandersen, and his repertoire has the same sort of graceful execution and not really very romantic swelling way of playing it and not very virtuosic, but there's some core of soul in there that I just fell very much for. And hey presto, I had my sort of guiding star into the tradition that had sort of been locked to me up to then. When I could take it as a grown person and walk into it at my own pace, all of a sudden it became simpler.
Emphasis on the soul, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it is. And that's not in a new agey meditation tape-y sense, but there's this perfect balance of elements that every musician in every tradition grapple with. Derek and I talk about this. How do you play? They often come in pairs, these problems. You know, how do you play convincingly without overshooting the mark with power, killing the music? How do you play quickly but gracefully and beautifully? How do you play slowly without schmutzing it up too much in relation to the tradition? There needs to be a balance in these kinds of music that survive. And to the one extent that I'll ever compare myself to Derek, it's the fact that I take music from another instrument. This is fiddle music from the outset, and I translate it onto the guitar like he does with the kora harp music. And that's also a reason why I carry with me a slightly different guitar than the ones you'll see in your studio this week, because for the guitar players out there,
I see eight strings.
Eight strings. In actuality, it's four because it's two and two. They come in pairs. That's how I sneak into a little tuning break as well. But it's tuned in what we call fifths, which is the same. I'm not getting too technical about it, but it's tuned in the relations between the strings are the same as on a violin or fiddle, as the folk people say. So that means I can put my fingers in the same places as a folk fiddler would. And instead of using a bow, I use a pick, and that brings me closer to the fiddle sound immediately. This is known as a guitar bouzouki, but also octave mandolin, and folk musicians in the States and the British Isles have been using this since the 70s.
Well, it looks like a guitar. I mean, it looks like a regular old guitar, except for the strings.
For those of you listening in color, and this was built by a local luthier in Trondheim, so this is very much a local music tradition that I'm trying to breathe sort of a guitaristic life into. I don't know if I'll succeed with that, and the guitar is locally made, so I've gone total patriotic in this phase.
Well, bring a little of Norway to us right here.
Yeah, this is a pair of tunes that I put together. Traditional tunes in the Celtic tradition, like the Norwegian ones, the Western world in general, I guess, have the limitation of 50 seconds apiece, so you have to string together a few more of them. These are 150 years apart. First one was written by crippled farmhand in rural Trøndelag in the 1850s, murdered under strange circumstances, sort of an Arctic Robert Johnson. And the second piece is written by Trond Steffen Westberg, who's a current fiddler, contemporary fiddler. Thank you.
Andreas Osa from Norway here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He's going to be playing in a shared recital with Derek Gripper tomorrow. Tomorrow at noon. I'm getting my days mixed up at the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center, and we're pleased to have him on the show today. Going back to you, Derek, and the notion of transcribing for the kora, did you have to study the instrument yourself?
Well, really, how it panned out is I was listening to kora music for many years, and I played classical guitar. But somehow, for many reasons, the music of the classical guitar, except for certain key composers, didn't resonate with me 100%. So I gravitated to a few composers that I really loved and played the music of. Gismonti, Agbert Gismonti, Bach, Takemitsu, people like that. But
pretty wide range right there.
Yeah, it was. Well, just handpicking, you know, things that really spoke to me. But I heard this kora music, it was probably 10, 15 years ago, and, you know, there was everything that you know, growing up in South Africa, living in South Africa, it was everything that I required from music, which was, there was a rhythmic element, there's a cyclical element, there's a groove element, but there's also a complexity, melodic invention, there's a counterpoint, there's all these things. So it was really like the music, you know, it was just everything. It was in this music. And it never occurred to me that it would be possible to play this music on guitar because, you know, it had these, you know, I thought maybe you could do it if you added a few strings and had some, you know, open strings that could play the bass lines and all this. But so I did get a kora at one point and I did teach myself to play it. But having spent a number of years before that, you know, learning the guitar, I wasn't prepared to go through that hell again.
Not to get on that instrument to the level where you are.
Exactly. On there's fabulous kora players out there, and that wasn't my interest. So I have a kora at home. It collects dust, and I must find someone to give it to who will actually play it. But then there's at some point there, I had a little breakthrough, and a large amount it came to do with thinking about kora music in a different way. Because up until then, I'd thought, you know, Tumani Diabate, we hear about him as a phenomenal improviser who can play a bass line and accompaniment and improvise great melodies. And so one thinks to access that music that one has to develop that particular capacity, let's say. But if you listen to his music over 20 years, where he would play perhaps the same piece like Jarabi, recorded in the late 80s and then recorded again recently in the late 2000s, you hear that actually he's playing the same compositions and interpreting them slightly differently, as you would maybe hear Glenn Gould playing the Goldberg Variations, separated by however many years he separated them by, what was it, 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. So that made a shift for me because I realized this is a composer. And so I started a project called Great African Composers, where I started looking at composers from Southern Africa. I work a lot with a wonderful bow player called Madusini.
Kind of player?
A bow, mouth bow. It's called Umkhube. Very beautiful. That's another story. And transcribed a bit of her bow work for guitar and started transcribing the music of Ali Farkature as well in a solo guitar context and then, of course, the kora music. And, yeah, so that's kind of how it happened. It's more studying the music, treating recordings as scores, and then just getting into the language. You know, at first it was really like I was moving into a new country and I had to learn every word by syllables. But now I speak the language quite fluently. And, the guitar and the kora now completely share a repertoire. There's nothing on the kora that you can't play on the guitar in this way.
Well, that you can't play on the guitar.
Yeah. I can show you how if you're interested.
Well, not every guitarist can do it either. Well, you want to play us another example?
Yeah, I'd love
to
play.
As long as we have you here.
So that album, One Night on Earth, is getting on to be a year old. And I'm now working on a much broader sphere of kora music to really show the breadth of the styles that exist, you know, that it's not just kora composition, you know. So this is a beautiful piece. It's a very old kora piece. It's called Tutu Jara, and it's a piece that is used for the praise of a great person.
So you're going to play it for me?
I could play it for you if you'd like. Thank you.
Derek Gripper on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. He and Andreas Osa will be performing at noon tomorrow. It's actually a free program. Donations are welcome, it says here, in Stage 5 at the Krannert Center. Stage 5 is what they're essentially calling the lobby stage. And though they will be among two of many guitarists of all genres participating in El Nora, the Guitar Festival. It opens with their opening night party starting at 6 o'clock tonight and continues through Saturday. You can check the complete schedule by going to elnoraguitarfestival.com. That's E-L-L-N-O-R-A. And if you go to the entry for their recital, you can get more information on Andreas and Derek, and you can even find a way to download that album that you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Where I noticed you can pay what you like, which is sort of an
interesting
approach.
On iTunes and all those things as the normal way, but then on my website you can choose how much you want to pay, which is I love.
And I'm sure you have access to Andreas's records as well.
Yeah, they're on iTunes
that
too.
Way. Yeah. And really appreciate your coming on the show, and I'm sorry we have run out to have another sample from Andreas.
Well, he did too.
That's right, he did too. That was
fair,
sneaky.
Fair, yeah.
That was sneaky. Put him right back to back. In any event, this should be a great recital and a great festival, and I appreciate your coming in and sharing your music with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, yeah.
Support for our show today on Live and Local comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. And on tomorrow's Live and Local, I'll be talking with David Commande of the Heartland Festival Orchestra in Peoria about their concert on Saturday to open the season, and also with members of Del Castillo, who will also be performing at El Nora. This is 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois.